All right, it's time to begin Megillas Esther. So today I just want to give you an introduction, Kedarkenu. This shiur is going to change our lives.
The specific shiur?
Esther, yes, Esther. It's profound. It's very, when you say this, I'm going to come out of Megillas Esther. Very powerful. Megillas Esther starts with a party. Because Achashverosh makes a party. A big party. Mechazel said that he made a party that was unparalleled. There was no party like his party. What was he celebrating? The party was in the third year of his reign. So he wasn't celebrating his ascendancy to the throne. You don't wait 3 years for that. The third year of his reign. There was a concern. It's a concern we have to understand. A concern among the Goyim throughout the generations. They did the impossible. They took a holy building, they took a Beis HaMikdash, and they destroyed it. For the very first time. I mean, let's not fool ourselves. The Beis HaMikdash was not a physical, did not have physical properties to it. And you shouldn't. It was invulnerable to physical attacks. They destroyed it. I mean, it was a combination of the Rishis, the Koyach HaTumah, with the Chatayim that Klal Yisrael were guilty of in that time. Chazal revealed to us. Avodah Zarah, Kilei Arayis, Shvichas Damim. And a combination of those two factors, he was able to do the impossible. And Klal Yisrael went into Golus. It's the first time. It's the first time Klal Yisrael went. You know, since then, all we've had is Golus. So we're used to it. We're accustomed to it. But it wasn't possible. You can't rule over Klal Yisrael through physical means. We rise above that. Klal Yisrael is supernatural. Beis HaMikdash is supernatural. And you did it. And there's one overriding concern that worried everything. Worried the schnitzel out of them. That Klal Yisrael is going to come back. Hashem promised they're going to come back. And we have to understand this. They were worried that Klal Yisrael was going to come back. And it seems out of proportion. It does seem out of proportion. When Klal Yisrael was a sovereign nation, they didn't take over other nations, you know, by force, without provocation. I mean, there were instances of Muhammad's. But the idea of world domination by Klal Yisrael is a different one than tyrants and dictators and warrior nations. So they'd come back and they'd build the Beis HaMikdash. Big deal. So what? They'd come back. What's so terrible about that? And you see that they took measures to make sure it wouldn't happen. And we'll find two times in history when there was a king named Belshazzar. He made a fatal error, fatal to him, and Achashverosh. as to the way the manly events would unfold, there's two psukim that refer to the return of Klal Yisrael following the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Two very similar psukim. And this sugya is a sugya in Maseches Megillah, in Daf Yud Gimel on the base. I'm sorry, it's on Daf Yud Aleph on the base. One pasuk's in Yirmiyah. The pasuk says, "Ki lefi melois lebavel," according to the completion to Bavel, shivim shana, 70 years. Efkadeskan, I'm going to remember you. Efkadeskan, you're not forgotten. You'll be included. Efkadeskan, you'll be included.
This is
Yirmiyah. This is in Yirmiyah, Perek of Tes. And what's the date? Melois the Bavel. When there's a completion to Bavel of 70 years. The other pasuk is a pasuk of Daniel, Perek Tes. Limlois, at the completion of Churvis Yerushalayim, to the destruction of Yerushalayim, Shivim Shana, 70 years. So there's two pasukim that refer to a period of 70 years. One is the reference point is the completion of Bavel, and the other is the completion of the Churvis of Yerushalayim. So this was like a sentence hanging over the conquering nations. They're going to have Klal Yisrael for 70 years, and then it's all over. They awaited that day with trepidation. They were scared witless. 70 years, it's going to be all over. There was a king. His name was Belshazzar. He's known as Belshazzar. Belshazzar was the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. And he knew this pasuk. They all knew the pasuk. And the pasuk says, Limlois Labavel. When Bavel's complete, 70 years, the Jews are going back. So, he understood it to mean that when Bavel as a nation celebrates its 70th birthday, Limlois Labavel, when Bavel is complete, 70 years, the Bavel is going to exist as a kingdom for 70 years, and only 70 years. Bavel was a new nation. Bavel was created to destroy the Beis HaMikdash and to exile the Jewish people. There was no other reason for this nation to come into being. Bavel was created for that purpose. So it came into being the year that the war started. And Belshazzar made a calculation, 70 years. So Chazal tell us that the Babylonian dynasty was founded by the Chasdeim. The Chasdeim were not a nation. They didn't have a king. They didn't have a language. They didn't have anything. The Chasdeim, they weren't important. They were a downtrodden people, very low people. And Kadosh Baruch Hu made them great. The reason why Hashem made them great, he raised them up to the power of a world, to the status of a world power, was because Klal Yisrael, even though they deserved to be destroyed, Chas v'Shalom, Layolenu, Rachman Litzlan, and the Beis HaMikdash had to be destroyed, Shibana b'meher b'yameinu, but they didn't deserve the indignity of being conquered by a lowly people. So Hashem raised them up, so that the Bnei Yisrael would go out with dignity. I mean, that's just a token of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for us. He'll turn over the whole world to save our dignity while he's destroying us. And that was in the year 3318 to creation, 3318.
That was the destruction in the second?
No, that's when Bavel, the Babylonian dynasty, was founded. And it was in different stages. Nebuchadnezzar was the first king. Nebuchadnezzar, he was the first king. It took him a year to capture Yerushalayim. It was that quick. He captured Yerushalayim in the year 3319, a year later. And the king of the time was Jehoiakim. King Jehoiakim. I'll give you a timeline later on. And that was the beginning of the war. The Gemara derives from Sukkim that Nebuchadnezzar was a king for 45 years. So you take 45, add to 3318. Yeah. Add to 3318. Get 3363. Right? The year 3363, approximately. I mean, it wasn't like the monarchy didn't change hands exactly at the end of the year. So maybe 3362, 3363, give or take a year. Nebuchadnezzar's son became the king. His name was Evil, as in E-V-I-L, Merodach. M-E-R-O-D-A-C-H, Evil Merodach. And he ruled for 23 years. 45 and 23, 68. Belshazzar followed his father of El Merodach, and after he ruled for 2 years. 68 plus 2 is 70. He made a party.
Belshazzar wasn't the son of Nebuchadnezzar?
No, he's a grandson. Yeah, no. He made a party. Yeah. And he took out the Kalim and the Beis HaMikdash. That sounds familiar?
Mm-hmm.
He made the party because 70 years were up and Bava's still standing. That means that it's not going to happen. They did the impossible. They permanently disabled the Jewish people. They conquered them so totally and completely that they can't come out. They can't emerge. And the rye is that they're still there after 70 years. He made a party. I think we all know what happened that night. That was the night where he saw the famous writing on the wall. He saw writing on the wall with the words Mene, Mene, Tekel, Farsim, which roughly means it's over. You have 2 years. I hope you enjoyed your 2 years. It's over. The Persians are coming. And that night, there was a treaty made between the two nations, Persia and Media. They joined together to topple Babylonia. And the king at the time was from Media. He was a Mede. And his name was Dariavesh or Darius. Dariavesh, Darius. Darius the Mede. Now, the name Dariavesh comes up a lot. It's like Pharaoh. It's one of his names. This is Dariavesh the Mede. Not to be confused with any other Dariavishes.
Who are the Medes in Hebrew?
Madai. Parasa Madai. Darius the Mede. Darius the Mede killed Belshazzar, toppled the Babylonian government, and instituted the Persian dynasty. They had a deal, they'd switch kings, you know, they made a rotation, sometimes it would be a Persian king, sometimes a Mede king, and they worked it out. So Belshazzar was very wrong. He was very wrong. He thought 70 years are up, it's not going to happen, and he was wrong. Chazal tell us that Achashverosh made his party Bishnas Shleish L'Malchai, the third year of his reign. Why didn't he make it in the first year of his reign? The Teretz is because he wasn't sure in the first year of his reign that he's going to have a reign. He could end up like Belshazzar. He can get bumped off. The third year of his reign, that's when his monarchy, that's when his Malucha began. Because then he was sure. He was sure that his dynasty is going to last. Made a party. Took out the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash. Made two parties. 7 days and then 180 days. Partied for 187 days. Celebrating the lack of fulfillment of Hashem's promise. So Gemara is a kasha. Gemara says, you know, Belshazzar tried it. Look what happened to him. Why, you know, why did Achashverosh do it? What are you doing? You crazy? Like, Achashverosh, you have a death wish? Like, what's he doing? So Gemara says, Achashverosh says, no, I know what I'm doing. Belshazzar, he didn't know how to learn. He didn't understand. He made a mistake. I'm not going to make a mistake. He didn't know pshat. Belshazzar didn't have pshat. He was a stupid guy. But I've got brains. I could figure it out. And he made a diuk. He said, it doesn't say in the pasuk, 70 years l'malchus bavel. It says 70 years to Babel. 70, a full 70 years to Babel. It doesn't say anything about the dynasty of Babel. You're counting from the dynasty of Babel. Like, what was he thinking? Why did Belshazzar think you count 70 years from the founding of the Babylonian dynasty? What does that have to do with anything? He said Klal Yisrael, 70 years from Klal Yisrael. But it doesn't say 70 years for 70 years from Klal Yisrael. It's 70 years from Babel. So Teretz is, the Pshat in the Pasuk is, 70 years from when Klal Yisrael entered Babel. That makes sense. It's the date 70 years is the origin, the point of origin is Klal Yisrael related. Then why is the Pasuk, it means when Klal Yisrael goes into Galus. It doesn't mean when Babel was founded. That doesn't make any sense. That's not Shaychus. It's when Klal Yisrael went into Galus. So then it has something to do with Klal Yisrael. It has something to do with Babel. It has to do with Babel because Klal Yisrael is engulfed. They've been absorbed by Babel. It has to do with Klal Yisrael because they're there. And that's it. He figured it out. That's shot in the Pasuk. He waited 70 years. Because I'll say that Belshazzar was 8 years off. Because Galus, there were different stages of Galus. There was Yoyakim's capture. Then there was Yoyakim's Galus. Then Yoyakim went into Galus and then Tzidkiah. There were four stages. The capture of Yoyakim, the Galus of Yoyakim, the capture of and Galus of Yechaniah, and the Galus of Tzidkiah.
The prophecy was that Babel would be destroyed, not that Klal Yisrael would be
redeemed. No, it says I'm gonna take care of my nation.
That's all it says.
No, it doesn't say anything about Babel being destroyed in that pasuk. I mean, it does say in Pesukim the Babel will be destroyed. Mm-hmm. But in that pasuk, it talks about returning to Eretz Yisrael. So he made a cheshbon, instead of starting from 8 years earlier, when the dynasty was founded, so then he'll date it from the Galus of Yechaniah. The Galus of Yechaniah, that was the Galus of Yechaniah and the Charash and Masgir. The Charash and Masgir were the Tamid Chachamim, the Sanhedrin, the Chashuvim, the eyes of the nation. So he made a calculation that the date stems from the main bulk of the Galus. Not the earlier stages, not the remnants. You know, there was a Galus in the times of Gedaliah ben Achikam after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. But his svar was that Galus means Galus, and Klal Yisrael without its leaders is not Klal Yisrael. So Klal Yisrael effectively went into Galus with Yechaniah and the Gedali Ador. So he made a cheshbon, that was 8 years later. 8 years later. So that means Achashverosh was a king 6 years after Belshazzar was killed. So Chazal tell us that after Belshazzar, the king was Darius the Mede, the Yavish Hamadi. He ruled for 1 year. That's it, the whole Maisa. He toppled a world power. He toppled, the only world power at the time, the Babylonian world power. And then he lived out a year. His son-in-law was a Persian. His name was Koresh, Cyrus. Cyrus has a good rep in the annals of our history. He's the one that gave the Jews permission to go back to Eretz Yisrael and to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. It didn't happen, but he gave permission. It didn't happen. Koresh was a king for roughly 3 years. Between Dayavish and Koresh, you have 4 years. Whether it was 2.5 and 1.5 or 3 and 1, between them you have 4 years. And then came Achashverosh. I mean, how Achashverosh became the king was a machlokes between him and Vashti, which we're going to learn about. He wasn't royal blood. Achashverosh was not royal blood. He was a very wealthy man. He was connected to Koresh. He was part of Koresh's court. So he was part of the... Vashti attributed it to her because she was a great-granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar. So he ascended the Persian kingdom because of her Babylonian origins. She had that kind of convoluted logic there. And he claimed that he did it by his own rights. He became the king. And this is the third year of his Malucha. All right. So in Barak you get 8 years. What the Gemara says. Here's the Gemara.
His wife was Paras or Mada?
What?
Vashti was a Paras or Mada?
She was neither. She was Babylonian.
She was Babylonian. So why do they have a Babylonian king or a Paras or Mada? If she's the only right to the throne.
Yeah, no, that's what I said. That was like her, that's what she believed. She's entitled. But yeah. Yeah, so he made a cheshbon. I'm sorry, he made a cheshbon. The Balshatza was 1 year. Dayavish and Koresh is 5 years.
Koresh is 5 or 3?
Dayavish and Koresh together is 5. I told you there's some segments. There's like 1.5 and 3.5. 1.5 and 3.5 is 5. There's some chalakim. The Gemara says this. Between the two of them was 5. Balshatza was 1. He was off.
Mm.
Balshatza, you know, died. He was off. So Balshatza is 1. 5 years of Deyavish and Keresh, 2 years of Achashverosh, 1 + 5 + 2 = 8, so he gets 70. Mm. Makes a party. And he invited the whole world to his party. Why? Because 70 years are up from the gullus of Yechaniah, and Hashem didn't bring the Jews back. They're not coming back. We're going to make a party. And he was wrong. The Gemara says that that's one thing that they, you know, they were learning the Pasuk in Yirmiyah. What about the Pasuk in Daniel? The Pasuk in Daniel is different. The Pasuk in Daniel is this all clear? The Pasuk in Daniel is Lamalois Lechurvis Yerushalayim. When the Churban of Yerushalayim is complete, that's when you start counting. Not from the institution of the monarchy called Bavel, not from the exile of Yechaniah, from the destruction of Yerushalayim. And that's during the reign of King Tzidkiyahu, who came after Yechaniah. And that was in the year 3408, 70 years from the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. The Churban HaBayis was in the year 3338, 70 years later, it's 3408. He was off. Achashverosh was off. He was off by about 12 years. 11, 12 years. It was a fatal mistake. He was off. But he didn't die. He didn't share the fate of Balshatza. He didn't die. So I'll just give you a little timeline here. The Nebuchadnezzar, in the year 3318, the Babylonian dynasty was founded. 45 years later, approximately, that's 3363, evil Merodach ascended to the throne. 23 years later, approximately 3386, Balshatza became the king. Balshatza made a Suda. He died. Dariavish was a king for a year. That's 3390, approximately. Koresh was between 3 and 4 years, 3394, approximately. 3393, 3394. Achashverosh became a king around 3392, 3393. These are all, you know, because we don't know exactly. 3392, 3393. He made the party in the beginning of 3396. Which was 70 years after the Gaulus of Yechaniah. Yechaniah was 3326.
In the end of 96?
Beginning of 96. Third year. Bishnah Shalosh. Yechaniah was 3326. I could be off by a year or two. You know,
that's 12 years early, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's
12 years early.
Shalosh is similar, right?
Right. And that was 12 years early. Because the Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt in 3408. Okay? So we have three periods of 70 years. Is that clear? You have 70 years from Bavel as a nation, 70 years from the Gaulus of Yechaniah, 70 years from the destruction of Yerushalayim. Now it sounds, you know, from the sound of things, Belshazzar made a mistake, Nebuchadnezzar made a mistake. They were mistaken. They darshan the pasuk, they darshan it wrong. Because the true pasuk is the pasuk in Daniel, you're supposed to count mechurv as Yerushalayim. Now there's a kasha on this.
Churban
of Yerushalayim.
If
the pasuk in Yirmiyah. Yeah, the pasuk in Yirmiyah doesn't mention churban Yerushalayim, and that's the one they were darshaning. So if they made a mistake, what does Yirmiyah do? Yirmiyah didn't make a mistake. They might have made a mistake, but Yirmiyah didn't make a mistake. So I said, a pasuk shat is the pasuk in Yirmiyah is written in a way to be, it was written deliberately not to reveal too much. Because of Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, he does that. He leaves room for Rishayim to shoot themselves in the head. He does. And, you know, the real pshat was in Daniel. The pasuk in Yirmiyah was left vague. And it said 70 years for Babel. And, you know, one of them thought 70 years for the institution of Bavel, the other one, the Gullus Bavel. And it really means the Churban, which was brought about by Bavel. That's definitely a Pashim shot, but there's always another level how to understand these things. If there were two psukim, I'm starting with this Yisoid. If there were two psukim, and the psukim are different, I'm assuming that there's two messages being given. That's what I'm assuming. I'm assuming that the pasuk in Yirmiyah is talking about the process, and the pasuk in Daniel is talking about the result, and the events bear it out.
Yirmiyah is leading to what?
About the process. Yirmiyah is the process.
And Daniel
is the culmination. The culmination of the process. Oh, I forgot. There's a fourth set of 70 years. When Koresh became the king, so he allowed the Jews to return to Eretz Yisrael and to build the Beis HaMikdash. That was in the year 3390, which was 70 years after Yerushalayim was captured. So you have 70 years of Bavel, 70 years from the capture, 70 years from the Gullus, and 70 years from the destruction. There's four periods of 70.
And his 70 years was correct?
Yeah, well, you know, it was correct in hindsight. Whether he knew that, you know, was another thing. And it didn't get actually built then, which is one of my rayas. It's one of my rayas. We're going to break the four periods of 70 into two groups. The first three and the final one. So Belshazzar's, Koresh's, and Achashverosh's in one group. And the building of the Beis HaMikdash in another group. Bavel, conquered Klal Yisrael. They conquered Eretz Yisrael, the Beis HaMikdash, and Klal Yisrael. In order for Klal Yisrael, you know, when a Gazel steals something, there's one sure way of getting it back. You know, the Gazel doesn't want to give it up. Let's say, you know, you have a SWAT team that they're experts in HRT, hostage rescue tactics, HRT. You know, the kidnapper, the abductor is holding the hostage. They have snipers with that guy's head filling the crosshairs of that sniper, the scope of the rifle. And the minute they get a clear shot, they go for it. They have a license to shoot. As soon as they get the shot, they take him out, providing they don't cause harm to the hostage. They take him out. Klal Yisrael is going to come back. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised they're going to come back. They were stolen. They were kidnapped. They're in captivity. The first step of the process is to knock off the kidnappers. That happened 70 years after Bavel was founded. What happened 70 years after Bavel? Two things happened 70 years after Bavel was founded. One is Belshazzar celebrated the fact that the prophecy wasn't going to come true. And the other is the prophecy came true. Same night. You would say his celebrations were a wee bit premature. Okay, we got rid of Babel. You got rid of Babylonia. But the Persians and the Medes, they replaced them. And they're not all that thrilled to let Klal Yisrael build the Beis HaMikdash and to let them go back to their semi-autonomous kingdom. They're not good with that. 70 years after Yerushalayim was captured, there was a Melech, a Persian king, that for reasons that were foretold that he would do this. So Pasuk Yeshaya, Perek Mem Hei. Amar Hashem l'Mashichai. Hashem speaks to his anointed one. L'Koresh. Who's Hashem's anointed one? Who's Mashiach? Koresh is Mashiach. Hu Yivne'iri. He's going to build my city. This was 200 years before Koresh actually did it. 200 years before Koresh built the base, gave permission to build the base of Mikdash, it was foretold by the Navi Yeshaya that he's going to do it. 70 years.
It all fell off.
So the second step is you have a king that gives you permission. Koresh gave permission. Because I'll say that he would have been the one to build. He would have built it then. He would have built it then. But, and this is a big but, of all the Jews that were scattered throughout the former Babylonian Empire, the number that heard the call to go back to Eretz Yisrael and build the Beis HaMikdash was minuscule. Because I'll tell us, 42,000 Jews returned to Yerushalayim. 42,000 of what must have been hundreds of thousands, if not millions. I don't know how many Jews were left after the Churban and Bais. But 42,000 went back, and because of that, we lost the opportunity to build the second Beis HaMikdash. And they had to wait.
This is by Koresh?
42,000 people went back. 42,000. So that's the second period of 70 years. And it did come true. 70 years from the Churban of Yerushalayim, permission was given to build it. Was it actually built then? No. And then 70 years from the Galus of Yechaniah, Achashverosh killed Vashti. Achashverosh said, it's all over. They didn't come back. There's no Beis HaMikdash. And for 12 years, he was convinced he was right. He suffered. He said, for 12 years we beat God. He's not going to do it. He didn't do it. The Jews didn't deserve it. They didn't come back. For 12 years, Achashverosh thought he was right. He calculated the 70 years. And the Gemara says he was wrong. He was 12 years premature. You don't count from the Golos HaYechoniah. You count from the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. He was wrong. But I'm telling you, Rabbi Sai, he was right. Because Vashti, dying, was the last link in this chain. Bavel being toppled, permission from Koresh, and Vashti dying. Because what happened when Vashti died? Esther became the queen. Esther had a son. The son was Dayavish. He was Jewish. And Dayavish built the Beis HaMikdash in the year 3408. What? Dayavish, the Persian. He was a Persian, ostensibly.
Was he religious Jewish-wise, or just...
It's not revealed to us. We'll talk more about it when we get into it. So, there were no mistakes. There were no mistakes. And not only that, but because they were convinced that the day passed, Belshazzar was convinced that the day passed, and Hashem didn't do it, he didn't bring salvation to his people, that brought about the salvation. He brought out the Kelim and the Beis HaMikdash, he celebrated, and he was killed because of that. It was like he had to do one more thing wrong to be knocked off. And he did it. Achashverosh celebrated he was celebrating the lack, the unfulfillment of the prophecy. And that celebration brought about the prophecy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses the methods and the means of humankind against them. HaKadosh brought about his own downfall. The very thing he tried to prevent brought it about. They were right. They were 100% right. 4 periods of 70 years. How did Mordechai get to Shushan? What's Mordechai doing in Shushan? Mordechai was in Babylonia. Shushan's in Persia. How did Mordechai get to Shushan? When Koresh became the king, until then the seat of government was in Babylonia. Dayavish conquered Babylonia and he sat on the throne of Nebuchadnezzar. Koresh, the son-in-law of Dayavish, decided he's a Persian king. What's he hanging around Babylonia for? Let's move the seat of government to Washington, D.C. We're going to go to Persia. Who are the advisors of the Babylonian kings, the ones that brought so much hatzlacha to Babylonia? Daniel and Mordechai. Koresh moved the government to Persia. He brought Daniel and Mordechai with him to Persia. Bingo. The players are getting, everyone's in the right place. Everyone's in position. There's all kinds of things going on. Dayavish, the Mede, was in Babylonia. His son-in-law Koresh moved the whole government, the whole kingdom, the seat of the kingdom, to Persia, to Shushan. And he brought Daniel and he brought Mordechai. That's how Mordechai got there, according to one version. We'll discuss other versions. And then the intrigue started. The Jews had enemies. Then the Levi tells us this. It sounds like almost the British white paper policy. The League of Nations voted that the state, the state of Palestine, the country Palestine, would be given over as a Jewish homeland, and the British signed on it. And then they said fine, but they wouldn't allow any Jews to enter. You can come. There's a white paper thing. Only a few hundred Jews can enter every year. The enemies of the Jews brought about a change in the policy. Yes, they had permission to go back to Yerushalayim, but only the ones that are there. Nobody else could cross the river. You had to cross the Euphrates River. The borders were closed. You can't go. No more Jews. A lost opportunity. 42,000 Jews, and that was it. If they all would have gone, it would have been over. We'd still be there. 42. Yeah, they stopped them. They stopped them because they slandered the Jews. They said the Jews are planning on rebelling against the king. They're going to establish their own kingdom. They're not loyal. And the permission was rescinded. This was in direct reaction to the sins of the Jews for not going to Eretz Yisrael when they had the chance. The children of Haman were busy. Sefer Ezra tells us Haman's children, they were busy. They were slandering the Jews. Bali Lashon Hara. The Jews are rebelling against the king. The stage is set. So it stopped. It was like a block. It stopped. It stopped the Geula.
Why didn't Mordechai and Daniel go to Yerushalayim?
Good question. You know, the Navi tells us, the Volgain tells us later, he did. He went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. He was there even when they were in Golas and Bavel. He kept on getting thrown out. He was there. He was there, and then they dragged him back to Bavel like he wasn't his own man. The Vilna Gaon says he was there at least 3 times. He kept on sneaking in. And they caught him. He wasn't his own man. He was a servant of the king. Everyone can go, just not you, Mordechai. You have to stay here. That's it. So the Sefer Megillas Esther is really a Sefer of a Gula of the Jewish people, of coming back to Eretz Yisrael, willing to be some Mikdash. And it's hidden, it's shrouded in a veil of Teva, that the events come together when it's in one Megillah. But if you take the isolated events, you don't see anything. You don't see a pattern. That's why there's so many halakhas about reading the Megillah. You have to hear it in order. You have to read the whole thing. You have to hear every word. Because every single event, every word, is a piece of the puzzle. It's all got to be there. And the one thing we do see from this is that there's a rivalry, a tremendous rivalry that goes throughout all the ages, starting from the first days of creation between Klal Yisrael, or where the seeds of Klal Yisrael emanated from, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, or Adam Rishon, between Klal Yisrael and the rest of the world. Avraham Avinu is called Avraham Ivri. Ivri means he's on the other side. In other words, it means this town is not big enough for the both of us. One of us has to go. A world where Klal Yisrael reigns supreme. Well, they're the rulers. Just by very nature of the rule and of who we are, that makes the game irrelevant. They have no meaning. A Jew that's a Jew, a real Jew, and there's very few of them around nowadays. They're few and far between. But a real Jew, a Jew that's everything that Kadosh Baruch Hu created him to be, when you hold a Gentile up to his candle, you hold him next to him. So this is a person. This is a person. His body is just a tool to serve the lofty aspirations of the spirit. He's an angel in the guise of a man. All he wants is to be one with his creator. His will is null and void in front of his creator's will. He's in control. And then you have the rest of the world, that they just follow their drives and their passions without thinking. An animal, instinctively, I want it, I'm going to take it. It's there, I'm going to go for it. Why? Because I want it, because it's there, because I can have it, because I can get it. It's there for the taking, therefore it's mine. That's an animal. And they know it. But it only hurts them when people are around. When people aren't around. You know who said this? The infamous Hitler, Yimach Shemai, in Mein Kampf, says this. He says, the Jews are the conscience of the world, and as long as there's a single Jew left on this earth, so the man cannot truly be free.
It's true.
Because the Jew is the conscience of the world. The Jew reminds us, just by his very presence, that there's something called responsibility, and there's something that's incumbent on us. We have to live up to something, and you can't be free because these things shackle you, they hold you down, and they hate us for it. That's why they viewed with trepidation the passing of these 70 years. It wasn't just the threat to Klal Yisrael coming back and building their temple and having their own kingdom. It was a threat to the existence of everyone else in the world. And that's why they had such a tremendous simcha when they mistakenly thought that it didn't happen, because it means they have continued existence. So Mitzvah Shem, tomorrow we will start the Megillah and we'll see how things unfold. Okay.
Locally.